This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. Good morning. My name is Jeff Sandhu. Good Kids is a notable company for its transformative and educational impact on its children and its program, as well as its contribution to the community in getting children out of the vicious cycle of low income, low grades, and also recruitment to gangs. Here with me today is Kogi. She's the co-founder of Good Kids, and to talk about their business and also your mission, because you're a social enterprise company. Let's talk about how did Good Kids actually begin. For you, what's the motive behind it? What's the ambition behind Good Kids?
Okay, we started our pilot run in 2014 with my co-founder Balasubramaniam, who's a counselor. So he was counseling these kids in one of the schools with this NGO called EWRF. And he realized that counseling works, but it doesn't solve the problem. These kids go back to square one.
It's a temporary fix.
Yes, it's just very temporary. You know, it's like it goes into 1 year and comes out through the other year.
And these are troubled kids that do counseling.
Yes, kids who don't do well in school, potentially become dropouts, already have a lot of disciplinary issues. Mm-hmm. So he was telling me and my cousin, because Mr. Bala is actually my uncle, So it's, So he was telling us that, you know, we need to do experiential learning. So that is when we started experimenting acting. So we did a lot of role play activities with these kids to get them to act out. Okay, what happens if you're bullied in school? How do you handle that? Who do you talk to? So we get them to act out, and then we discuss. And we do a reflection session out of it.
Right.
So this, we realized, actually made an impact to the kids. So that is how Good Kids started about.
Right. And the whole point of when you get into that and you get them to act out, that idea came from who? Like, you know, because normally if someone comes and tell me, you know, this kid has, you know, certain problems, I would go there and just do standard kind of counseling and talking about life. And I would never go, you know, the different way, the different approach that you do, which is, you know, let's get them to do role playing. How did that idea came about?
Because Mr. Bala has 30 years of experience handling these kids. So he has tried all the methods. So he knows, you know, all these methods have not worked. You know, it works for a while and then that's it. So he was telling us that let's try something new. You know, we need to tell these kids, we need to make them understand why they cannot do this. And the only way to make them understand is for them to experience it.
Right.
So that is how...
And your background is from... Is it also from educational background?
No, I'm actually an engineer.
Ah.
Yeah. So I worked in Motorola for 5 years. Wow. And then I moved to startups. So I worked in entrepreneurship in Cradle Funds in Yamaha for a while. And while I was there, I already started doing volunteer work with Mr. Bala. So that is how it all began, actually.
So what type of programs do you have at the moment? Since, you know, when it started off, it was probably very different. Now it's probably slightly different. What type of programs do you have at the moment? And, you know, how do you decide, like, sort of, you know, what works and what doesn't now that, you know, you've been running for a number of years now?
Yes. Right? Yeah. So what I told you just now was the pilot run. So that one, the acting, role-playing was very successful. We actually staged a play and we saw the changes in the kids. And then the next batch, when we tried out, they somehow didn't respond well to acting. They were a bit more reserved, a bit more shy, like, oh no, I don't want to try this acting. This is boring. So we had to innovate. So we brought in recycled items and we told them, you know what, we're going to drum. So we played the drums and we used very simple instruments which will not intimidate them. So that got them really engaged. And only later we actually found out that percussion is the easiest way to engage kids and teenagers.
Wow, really?
Okay. Yeah, actually that's very easy way to break the ice and also to engage them. So when we tried this out and then we're like, hey, let's try a little further. So we tried body percussion, which is very famous in the States, you know, stomping. So that also got them really engaged. They're like, oh, we have never known what is stomping.
Because it seemed fun. It just seemed like a, you know, chaotic mess. That,
yes.
You know, but it's what kids like and it's actually very educational.
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's educational, but it's something that, okay, our sessions are like, now we have 20 weeks program where we meet them every week. So every week we have 2 hours. The first 1.5 hour, we let them do this music. So they play the drums, they do stomping, they learn rhythm, tempo, everything. after that, the last half an hour, we still get them to do a little bit of acting, this role-playing that we mentioned earlier. So they're already like relaxed and had fun and all that. And now their mind is open, they're receptive to new things.
Right.
To all the information that we are going to give them about social wisers. Why you should do this, why you shouldn't do that. And they are also willing to open up and discuss things.
Mm.
So that is how our sessions are structured. So you play, have fun, and then we get to the serious stuff.
Mm. And were there any notable difficulties at the beginning stages in terms of maybe, you know, the kids, you know, in day sort of, you know, adopting this or, you know, getting in on board or find, you know, have the same, you know, vision as you as well?
Mm.
I'm sure, you know, towards later on, like you mentioned, they get used to it. But at the starting stage, how difficult is it to sort of get the buy-in from these kids?
It is not easy, actually, because we are strangers to them. Right, they are used to their family, their teachers, their peers, but they don't know us.
Yeah.
So the first few weeks, it's all about rapport building. So that is why we use recycled items, recycled drums, which is very easy to engage them.
Mm.
So drums was really a very good bridge between us. And music, when you can get it right, you can connect to a lot of people. Yeah, so I would say it was a big challenge actually to connect to the students. And we are at 6 different places. So there are schools, shelter homes, and also one Orang Asli community.
Nice.
Each different center has got different ways to deal with them.
Right.
Some of them are a bit more reserved. Some of them have more serious issues. Yeah.
Mm. And what's the difference between like the Orang Asli community that you work with and also maybe the schools that you... So you've worked with 3 schools in Malaysia at the moment.
Yes.
So how different is the program in terms of you approaching them? Do you do recce as well? Because obviously, you know, Orang Asli community might be slightly different. I have no idea what's the differences. So is there a major difference between the schools and this, you know, Orang Asli and also maybe the shelter homes as well?
Okay. There are a lot of differences. So our modules cannot be structured in a very rigid way. So we set an objective that we want to achieve every week, but the methodology that we use is different because like Orang Asli community, they are very, very reserved. They are very, very shy. So acting is really tough for them. But they are really good in music. And when it comes to schools, we have a total different ball game. You know, there's a bureaucracy thing that you have to deal with.
Yep.
We need a teacher to champion it in the school. If the teacher doesn't cooperate with us, it's very difficult for us to get the students because the teacher needs to encourage the student, hey, you need to go for this class because you need help. Most of the students don't even realize that they need help. They think, oh, I'm fine. Why do you think I need help? I don't need help.
Yeah.
So you need to knock some sense into their head that, hey, look, you actually have some issues and you need help. And it's okay to have issues.
Right.
So that is the first thing that we tell them. You have issues, but it's okay to have issues. It's okay to make mistakes. But as long as you realize it and you're willing to learn from it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the typical background of a child at Good Kids who, you know, and get enrolled by Good Kids?
Okay. Most of them who don't do well academically, that's the first sign. Because when they don't do well academically, that means they come from a background that is probably underprivileged or urban poor, or maybe some abuse background, you know, a lot of history behind these kids.
Yeah.
They don't have proper role model. The parents are unable to provide them the right guidance. And some of them have disciplinary records in the school and even in the shelter home. Okay, the shelter homes, sometimes they get reports from the school saying, hey, this kid from your home has done this, this, this.
Mm.
So this kind of background, actually. And most of them don't have self-confidence. So that is... we identified that as the major issue of why they fall into all this and why they fall into the high-risk category. So the confidence is the issue. That's what we are trying to tackle with our program. So when we teach them performing art and we get them to act out and to showcase their talent, that is actually a boost to their confidence because they know, oh, okay, there is something that I can actually do. You know, I can't study well, but there's something else that I can do.
Right.
So that is the main focus. Right.
But it's not just for. It sounds like, you know, it's not just if you're a kid who has issues or problems or, you know, challenges at the moment. It feels like, you know, practically any other kid can sort of get the benefits or the advantage from, you know, the lessons that you teach from Good
Absolutely
Kids, right?
Absolutely right. Because we see there is a lack of this kind of confidence building and. Interpersonal skills, you know, that we emphasize a lot in our training for any students in Malaysia. Because we are very focused on scoring A's, producing best students.
Yeah.
from the school to parents, and you forget about their confidence, their ability to communicate.
Yeah, just life outside of school.
Exactly. We hear a lot of issues of youth nowadays who go to... university, and after that, when they go looking for jobs, the employers don't want to hire them, saying that, hey, this guy can't even solve a problem.
Yeah.
So that is what we are teaching these kids. We're teaching them how to think.
Mm.
Instead of telling them, hey, don't smoke. No, we tell them, okay, if you want to smoke, let's sit down and calculate. You're 16 years old. You get this much of pocket money. How much can you afford? Okay? And let's say you drop out from school at 17.
Yeah.
You know, you can probably work in 7-Eleven and this is how much you can earn. So can you sustain your smoking habit in the first place?
Mm.
And then look at your health. What is going to happen if you have cancer or any other diseases? Can you afford to get treatment? So we get this kind of thought process into their head and they start thinking, oh, okay, I have to decide. You know, that is what we want.
And how's the reaction been from the kids' point of view? You've worked with how many kids so far already?
Now we have 70. We started with 100, but we have about 30% dropout rate. So now we have 70.
And what's the reaction been from these 70 kids so far?
Okay, I must say there have been really amazing reaction from some students. Some are still, you know, okay, I think I'm in the right path. I think I'm in the right program. So we have to reinforce many times on, okay, why are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, what is the purpose? Why are you learning music? Why we are using music? So some of them, they're really amazing. They're like, oh my God, we can see their changes from the shy ones who refused to even look at our faces when we speak, didn't answer, now takes charge and say, ah, teacher, I will teach this to this group of students.
That's nice.
Give me 10 minutes and then I'll come back to you. So these kind of changes that we have seen.
Great.
In their self-confidence.
Because every kid is different in the sense of, you know, the level of, you know, how they adapt to new things and, you know, strange environments or, you know, even, you know, new people, new, not familiar faces, but, you know, new environments. So different people take different time. So like, how long would it normally take for you to really see the changes in kids? Like, is the program, you know, a short program? Is it like a month, 2 months, or is it like an ongoing yearly thing? How does your program go?
It's a 20 weeks program where we meet them every week.
Wow.
So we have a 2-hour session every week. The reason we design a 20 weeks program is because I think you need regular touch base with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen a lot of other programs who do, okay, we want to give motivational talk. We go there 1 week, half day program. Okay, then we are done. So what happens after that?
Mm.
You know, nobody tracks on this. So our program, once we build rapport with them the first few weeks, we actually do a self-esteem assessment with them. So it's like a questionnaire. They have to fill up the form. And we keep that score. And when this program ends now, it's going to go... it's going to end next week.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So we are coming to end already this Saturday. I'll tell more about the event soon. So after we end it, we're going to repeat the test and see whether their score has increased. So this is also to validate our method.
Yeah.
And we can actually tell the kid, hey, look, this is how much you scored. And this is how much you score now. So you can see that you have improved.
I'm speaking to Kogi. She's the co-founder of Good Kids. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll find out about some of the activities that you have lined up currently. This is Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business. My name is Jeff Sander and I'm speaking to Kogi. She's the co-founder of Good Kids. Good Kids is notable for their transformative and educational impact on children. They're trying to get the children out of the vicious cycle of low income, low grades, and also, you know, doing all kinds of other things. And the way that you approach them is from a very unique way. It's through music, it's through live performance, you know, stuff that I normally would go on a monthly basis, go out and check out, you know, this live performance. dances and all. So what is it about music that has such a transformative impact on, you know, children at Good Kids? What is it about, you know, music that gets them, you know, be like a better person in the future?
Okay. My co-founder, Naraini, is actually, she holds a diploma in music and she's a singer. So she is the one who is a major person who behind this whole module of putting music inside. Mm. So as she explained, she said, music actually helps us recognize patterns. Because when we learn music, we actually recognize patterns. You know, you're repeating the rhythm, your tempo. And that is how naturally our brains work. Mm. Like when we read, we don't read alphabet by alphabet. We recognize a pattern. So when we teach this to the kids, we actually tell them, hey, this is why you're learning music. It's going to help you in your studies or in anything else that you do because it is training your brain to function naturally as how it's supposed to function. So that is why music is not a distraction. Mm. It's actually a tool that can help these students. And they don't realize it because a lot of parents think, oh, music, no need lah, you know, that kind of things. Something that came to us by surprise is when we started the program, they had some exams in school. Mm. And last month, they had another set of exams. Some of the students came and told us that their grades have increased.
Ah.
Their marks have increased.
That's great.
Yeah, this was a surprise to us. It was not one of our objectives, but like, hey, this really works.
So when you go up, so the objective when you set out, when you run these programs in schools, in shelter homes, in communities and all, what is your goal and like how do you create these plans for these different types of like, you know, do you come in there and like, you know, we've got, you know, plan A, B, C, we're going to execute plan A, B, C, or do you go in there and you're like, okay, what's your objective here and then what's your mission here and then you execute it? How does it go?
Okay. The main objective is to build their self-confidence, which will, in return, keep them away from the streets, keep them away from troubles. Okay? So that is the main objective. So everything that we do, it revolves around this.
Okay.
So different methods for the different group of kids, different community, it all ends up to this.
All right.
So as I mentioned, we have a module for 20 weeks. So even our objectives in the module for every week is set. One is a music objective. Obviously, because at the end of these 20 weeks, we want them to put up a performance. So we need to have our performing art objective.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another one is the confidence building. So from, you know, able to communicate with the facilitator and then able to voice out opinion about general things and then able to discuss things among their peers. So all this is actually stated in our module week by week.
And how is this, being measured and then, you know, being returned back to the kid? Like, how do you inform them of their performances? How do you measure confidence that in that sense?
Okay, this is a very tricky subject, actually. So that is why we are trying to do this self-esteem assessment. But that just gives you a rough guideline on, okay, maybe the score, because it's not a 100% accurate score, but it gives us a guideline. But more than that, we do a lot of positive reinforcement to the kids. So when they do something, it could be something simple as coming up in front and speaking about something or acting out or even playing the drums, you know, and tell them, hey, this is a good thing that you did. And what happens is the kid was like, oh, I'm actually doing something good. And we see in the following class, the kid is able to do it on their own without even taking any instruction from us.
Right.
So for us, it's very observational. So we can observe the changes. So in terms of measuring confidence, it's still something very tricky. We are trying to find modules or, you know, different methods that people have used. If anyone out there has any ideas, please tell us.
Right. Now, I also found on your website, there's this thing you mentioned where, you know, you letting the youth enjoy the magic of learning through joy. It's a very powerful sentence. Is that like, you know, ultimately your goal in, you know, trying to show them this magic that, you know, can be created through various different means, music, live performances. And at the end of the day, it's fun. It's joy. Trying to find, you know, what's happy and what makes you happy in life in that sense. Is that at the end of the day your sort of, you know, ultimate goal?
Yes, because we want to say that learning can be fun. It's not about just memorizing things from the book and going for exams. Because the best way for you to learn is when you enjoy something.
Yeah.
I'm sure all of us have got no memory. And when it involves extreme emotion, which is when you are happy or when you're sad, that is what you remember, right? So that is why studying, like, you know, memorizing things and going for exam is so difficult, because it doesn't involve any emotions. So that we are trying to revamp this learning process, and we have seen that it works. You know, when the kids are happy doing what they're doing, they remember it. Students who, you know, the teachers claim that, oh, I can't leave him alone in the class, he's a chaos. We have brought them into our class and get them to do steady drum beat nonstop for a few minutes. And they can absolutely pay attention and they can concentrate all the time. So there's no such thing as students that can't study. It's just the different methodologies that you use.
So to what extent do good kids challenges the conventional notion of, you know, a good kid as a kid that does well in, you know, in academics, for example?
We believe that every kid is a good kid waiting for the right opportunity. So we don't want people to be labeling, you know, oh, this kid is a naughty kid and all. So that is the main reason why we call ourselves good kids. And we want the kids also to feel that they belong to this name. We want them to say, hey, I'm part of good kids. I am a good kid. So I'm wearing this t-shirt that says, hashtag, I am a good kid. Okay, so we have given these t-shirts to all the kids and we want them to start believing this, because that is the first step for them to change, you know, because they've always been told that, hey, you are incapable, you are naughty, you create chaos, all that. So that is what we're trying to say, that so the public, community, teachers, parents, stop labeling.
You know? And they play a very important role, because, you know, at the end of the day, your objective doesn't just rely on the programs that you have. It relies on, you know, the teachers, the people in school, the communities that they hang out with, the parents and all, right? What advice would you tell, you know, the people that are involved in your ultimate goal? What advice would you give them? Besides just labeling them, you know, don't label naughty kid, good kid, you know, stop the labels.
This effort that we are doing will not be successful if all these people that you mentioned didn't play their part. So the schools, parents, the community themselves can play a role in this. So look at the long-term objective of how you're supposed to educate a child. It's not just about having good grades. You know, it's a lot about character building and ability for them to think and rationalize. We are moving towards an era that is very digitized, computerized. And if we don't build this thinking capacity for kids, they cannot compete with computers in future. You know, computers will take over everything. So we need to build this in them. So that is the role that everyone has to play. And we have made this platform so you guys can come in and contribute and play your part.
And if we want to volunteer, it's also possible. Just contact you guys on your website. And, you know, that's opportunity for people, ordinary people, to come in and help out as well, I guess.
We are always looking for volunteers, people who want to help, people who want to sponsor us. You know, we will be raising funds for next year. This year, we have been supported by Magic, ECM Libra, and EWRF, also Make It Right Movement. So for next year, we'll be raising funds. Those who would like to support us can come and contact us. And those who are from music background who think that you want to do something on the side, you want to train the kids, so please do contact us. You know, we need more trainers for next year so that we can reach out to more schools, more shelter homes. Teachers in the school can, of course, contact us if you want to champion this program in your school.
And obviously, because this is a social enterprise, you know, the kids don't pay for any of this.
Absolutely free.
So how do you even then, like, pick the kids, or do these schools that you work with sort of suggest you the kids? Or, like, if I had a kid and I want to enroll my kid into something like Good Kids Do, is there a way to go about it? What's the current process like?
This year we didn't pick the schools. We took those who wanted the program in their school. So because we are still very small, right? We are growing. Very few people know about us. So now we have a story to tell. We have seen the impact, and now we are doing our impact measurement and so. So for next year, any school who is keen, because we need people who are very supportive, especially teachers, principals. They have to provide the infrastructure for us so that we can go in and do the training. So that is one. And so any teachers out there who want to help us, right? So do contact us.
Right, okay. Yeah. And that's where then you can, the discussions can happen, and hopefully then something
yes.
will pop up in that school as well. Yeah. What's the plans, future plans for Good Kids? What can we expect besides, you know, probably more people joining you as a volunteer? As a, just a normal citizen, is there any way that I can sort of contribute and, you know, sort of help out? What's happening in the future?
So there's an event coming up this Saturday. So at PJ Life Arts, it's called Good Kids League. So the 70 students who we have been training since February for 20 weeks, they are actually going to perform.
Nice.
So they all have six teams all together, and they have different themes. Huh. So one is mechanic workshop, one is canteen, another one is kitchen. You know, so they have their own performance pieces. It's mainly recycled percussion and stomping and also acting. So if you come for the show, you are able to see six different type of performances and a lot of creative instruments that the kids have built by themselves.
Wow. And this is happening this Saturday.
Yes.
Where and what, time?
This Saturday, 13th of August at PJ Life Arts in Jaya Wan from 7 to 9:30 p.m. For tickets, you can visit our website www.goodkids.com.my.
All right. And is just as a company itself, like the enterprise, the social enterprise itself, Good Kids, what's the future plans? Next year, is next year set for, you know, more expansions, or what are you looking at? Obviously, raising funds is one of it as well.
Yes.
You know, once you do raise a certain amount of funds, what is the goal? Are you planning to, you know, open this up to every other school, or are you hoping that one day that you can, you know, just stop Good Kids? Because is that the plan?
Yes, right. Our ultimate goal is Good Kids should be redundant one day, because, you know, there shouldn't be this problem anymore. As a social enterprise, you're solving a problem, so there shouldn't be this problem anymore. We would really like to see a Good Kids club in every school, you know, or even in communities. You know, community champions can take charge and say, okay, we have a Good Kids club. We are very ambitious, so we want this in every school. So those who want to come on board to help us establish all these connections, maybe how to get through this to all the schools, even community champions who want to run this, sponsors, of course, and music enthusiasts, music teachers who want to be part of our training team. We actually provide training before we send you out to train the kids. We did that this year. Mm-hmm. So we have a group of volunteers, but it's very small. So if we want to scale, obviously it's not enough.
Yeah.
And we also plan to do public classes. Like, you know, you mentioned just now, what if you are a parent and you want to send your kid? So we intend to do that. As you know, we are a social enterprise, so we have a few different revenue models. So one of the revenue models is like a cross-subsidization. So we one child who pays for public classes will probably sponsor one child from the underprivileged community.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
we are working on that kind of program for next year.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, I've been speaking to Kogi. She's the co-founder of Good Kids. And you do check out the website. It's goodkids.com.my. There's an event that will be happening this Saturday at the PJ Life Art. So you'll be able to watch 70 of these kids doing six different performances. So that will be quite interesting. You can check out all the information on the website. This has been Open for Business. My name is Jeff Sandhu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.